Welcome to Come Follow Me On The Go. My name is Kylie, and this podcast is designed for families and children that are in the car and on the go. In each podcast episode, I will be sharing brief stories from the Come Follow Me lesson plans. I will also provide questions that families can pause the podcast and discuss and chat and grow closer together as a family unit and closer to Christ while they are in the car and on the go. Okay, welcome to this week's Come Follow Me On The Go. I'm so happy you're here again. We are going to be studying the book of Acts, chapter 10 through 15. And our first story will take place in chapter 10. And we're going to be learning about a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile man living in Caesarea. And let's rewind just a smidge. What is a Gentile? Simply put, a Gentile is someone who is not of the Jewish faith or a descendant of the 12 tribes of Israel. So a Gentile would follow like a Greek or Roman mythology. They would probably believe in multiple gods. They would speak primarily different languages than a Jewish person. And they also would follow different laws and social customs and probably different holidays even. So one small example of this would be a Jewish man would not be able to eat pork, and a Gentile would be able to eat pork. So Jewish people considered Gentiles to be unclean because they didn't follow the same laws or worship the true and only God. So they were kind of shunned. Jewish people were not to hang out with Gentiles or mix with them or be friends with them. Okay, so Cornelius, though, we learn in the scriptures that he is a God-fearing man. So whatever religion he was following at the time, he was doing the best he could. He was trying to be the best person, follow the rules to the best of his ability. He probably was starting to be curious about who Christ was and all the things that he had done on earth and what was this movement of people following and doing these Christ-like things and also healing even after Christ had died. We continue to learn that he was someone who was very charitable. The scriptures teach us that he gave alms, which means he gave money or food assistance to people that were in need. We further learn that he actually was continuously praying. So he was constantly trying to communicate with Heavenly Father and receive personal revelation or guidance or safety. His heart was open to receiving communication from Heavenly Father. We are told that on the ninth hour of the day, he had a very clear vision of an angel of God coming to him and saying, "Cornelius, your prayers and acts of service have been seen and heard by heaven." The angel continued and told him, "Send someone to Joppa and call for the man named Peter, and Peter will show you what you should do." So when the vision closed and ended, that is exactly what Cornelius did. He went to two of his household servants and a soldier of his. If I didn't already tell you, Cornelius was a centurion, which means he was over about 100 different people who were also soldiers. He was over 100 soldiers. So he was important to the Roman military. So today I actually have two questions for you. It's so hard for me to ever pick just one. So here's one question for you guys to chat about. In what ways has your family seen Heavenly Father communicate or speak to you guys? You might not always get a vision like Cornelius, but I can guarantee that you personally or your family have had communication with Heavenly Father. So talk about that. In what way do you usually feel and see communication? All right, the second question for this section is, does anybody have a communication from Heavenly Father that they received and acted on that they would want to share? We are jumping right back into the book of Acts, chapter 10. And now Cornelius's men are on the road traveling to the city of Joppa. And we are going to hear about Peter's side of the story now. Just a little bit of info on Peter. His name is Simon, but he goes by Peter. So in the story, you'll kind of hear both if you're reading in the scriptures, and you'll also hear that he's actually staying at a house of a man named Simon. So it's a little bit confusing, but for the sake of understanding everything, we are only going to refer to Peter in our story today as Peter, and we won't bop back and forth. So Peter is in Joppa staying at his friend Simon's house, and he decides to climb up on the roof because he wants to be alone and say a prayer. While he is praying, he gets hungry and he wants to eat, but the food that is being prepared for everyone at this house is not ready yet. So while he waits, he actually falls into a trance on this roof. And in this trance, he sees a vision of a sheet being unfolded before him. And I love to picture this as if it was a projection screen. And now he's watching a movie on the roof. And in this movie, he's seeing all kinds of footed animals and reptiles and birds. And then there's this big movie theater voice that tells him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And now Peter is very confused. And he actually asks, like, I can't eat these animals. I've never eaten an unclean animal before. And the voice responds and tells him, "Don't call anything that I've created impure or unclean." And he actually has this vision or this movie on a projector screen shown to him 3 times. And then he just sits on the roof and he's just mulling it all over. He's thinking about, what could this possibly mean? What am I supposed to learn for this? And while he's thinking about it, Cornelius's 3 men end up at Simon, Peter's friend's house, and they yell out, like, "Is Peter here? We're looking for Peter." And at the same time, the Spirit or the Holy Ghost tells Peter, 3 men are looking for you. I need you to get up, go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, because I have sent these 3 men to get you." So our question for this beginning of this story, we're just at the iceberg of this story, is why do you think the vision was repeated 3 times and then 3 Gentile men showed up to get Peter? Now remember, Gentiles were considered to be unclean and not someone that a Jewish person would typically associate or hang out with. So 3 can mean a lot of things, but why do you think he saw the vision 3 times and now 3 men are at his house? In what way does this vision of nothing being considered unclean that Christ and Heavenly Father have made apply to us today? Okay, let's finish this story about Cornelius and Peter. So Peter invites these 3 men that have come to him in Joppa, and he tells them to come on in, and he gets them all settled and set up to be able to stay the night and rest. And then the next morning, they all set out to travel back to Caesarea. And a few of Peter's Jewish friends join them along the way. And when they arrived to Caesarea, Cornelius had been excitedly waiting for Peter and his men to arrive back. And he had gathered all of his family and all of his friends into his home so that they'd be ready to hear what Peter had to say. And when Cornelius finally met Peter, he actually fell to his feet and started to worship him. But Peter scooped him up and had him stand up, and he was like, "I am just a man just like you." And then Peter tells everyone there that what he's doing, being with all these Gentiles, is actually unlawful for him to do. He's like, "I'm not supposed to hang out with Gentiles, but God showed me that I am also not to call any man common or unclean. So here I am." Then Cornelius tells Peter about his vision and how he saw an angel of God, and he told him to go and get Peter, and Peter would tell him what Cornelius was supposed to do. After Peter heard this, he tells everyone at Cornelius's home that he now knows that God did not or does not judge anybody based on where they live, who their grandparents are, if they have money or if they don't, but instead, Heavenly Father will be near and communicate with anybody who seeks to be near and communicate with him. Peter then teaches all these Gentiles about Christ's ministry on earth and the wonderful healings he did and the correct path for these Gentiles to now align their lives. And as he spoke all of this to these men, the Holy Ghost actually fell on them and they began to speak in tongues. Now, we've had this happen already before to the apostles, and now the disciples that are with Peter are seeing it again. And the disciples that are with Peter are not any of the 12 apostles. They are just followers of Christ that went with him. But they're seeing these other Gentiles now speaking in tongues, in different languages, and they're a little bit blown away. Like, what? We thought that these people were unworthy and unclean. Why now are they receiving the same gift of the Holy Ghost as us Jewish men who are more worthy and are clean? So these Jewish men are also learning at the same time as these Gentile men. They're just learning different things. But then Peter continues on and he tells the Gentiles, okay, now you need to get baptized. You know the truth. You know about Christ. You have felt it in your hearts. You've seen gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what I'm telling you to do. Go and get baptized. So my question for this little end of this story with Peter and with Cornelius is, how quick are you to act on what you know you should do? Both Cornelius and Peter acted immediately after they were given instruction from Heavenly Father and from the angel, even though they didn't quite understand why or went against what they knew or thought to be true. Okay, in chapter 11 of the book of Acts, I just have a little bit of a fun fact for you. So this is the first chapter that the disciples and the early followers of Christ were actually called Christians. And we can learn that the word Christian can mean in Hebrew, Christ means anointed, so he's like chosen and sacred. And the T-I-N, the shin, means little. So the early disciples were sometimes referred to or thought as the little anointed ones. So they were like Christ. They were little examples of Christ doing good and teaching all across their nation, just like Christ had. Okay, we are picking up our next story in the chapter 13, and we are learning about Barnabas and Saul, who were living in the city of Antioch and were sent to the island of Cyprus to do missionary work. So one important thing to know before we jump in is, interestingly, in the Bible, oftentimes people's names will change when they've become converted to the gospel. So Saul now goes by Paul because he is now a disciple and follower of Christ. So from here on out in this story, he will go by Paul for us. So on their way to the island of Cyprus, they had to load up on a boat and go across the sea to get there. And on their way, they stopped at multiple cities. And one of the cities that they stopped at was called Paphos. And while they were in Paphos, the deputy of that area called and wanted to meet Paul and Barnabas and hear what they had to say, hear their teachings, and find out for himself if he believed them or not. But with this deputy was a sorcerer, and that's just a fancy word for a false prophet. So this false prophet was actually a Jew, and he went by the name Bar-Jesus. So this false prophet did everything in his power to confuse and trick and make the deputy of Paphos not believe Paul and Barnabas. But we learn that Paul was filled with the Spirit, and he actually looked Bar-Jesus straight in the eye and he said, "You are an enemy to all that is good. Instead of being full of goodness, you are full of deceit and tricks." And then Paul asks him, he says, "Will you ever stop fighting against the Lord?" Paul continues and he tells them, "You're going to be blind for all of time. You won't even be able to see any amount of light." And right then, a mist of darkness covered his vision and he was instantly blinded and reaching out for people to help guide him and hold his hands because he could no longer see. And when the deputy of Paphos saw this, he instantly was like, "Yeah, I believe these missionaries. I've heard their teachings, and I've seen that by the power and the authority that they teach." Okay, so Paul, not Saul, same person, new name, painted a really good picture for us of what it looks like to be someone who is not full of goodness. So my question for you guys is, how would you describe someone who is full of goodness, and what are you doing to be one of those people who is full of goodness? Okay, so we are going to continue our stories from this week's Come Follow Me lesson. And we learned that King Herod, he's the king of Judea, which is the country that the disciples and Jesus lived in. So he did not love the Christian movement. He decided he was going to like flex his muscles and become a disturbance to the growth of the church. And so sadly, the way that he decided to go about this was to kill James, the apostle James. And he saw that the other Jewish people that were not fans of Christ actually liked this. They were happy that he put James to death because they did not want this Christian movement growing any more than it already was. So Herod, the king, decided, well, I'm going to arrest Peter as well. So he arrested Peter and he put him in prison with the intention of bringing him to court soon. So Peter's now in prison. We learn that he actually has two chains around him to bind him and keep him in prison. He falls asleep between two guards, and then there are guards at the prison door and at the gates that would enter into the city of Jerusalem. And he falls asleep, and all of a sudden, he is woken up by an angel appearing, and he tells Peter to quickly get up, and Peter obeys quickly, and the chains just fall to the ground. And then the angel continues and tells him to like put on your sandals, put on your clothing, and put your cloak around you. So Peter follows the instructions again and he follows the angel. And the angel and Peter are able to just walk right past the guards at the gates. And when they come to the locked gates that led to the city, the gates actually just opened by themselves. Like nobody opened them, they just opened of their own accord. And they walked right out. And Peter said, "Now I know for sure that God sent this angel to rescue me from prison and from whatever would have happened at the trial that was to be tomorrow." And can you guys guess what Peter did next? He actually ran to tell his friend John. Well, sorry, he ran to his friend John's mom's house. So I'm sure right now sometimes you want to like go tell your friend something exciting. And so you run to where? His parents' house to find him there. That's exactly what Peter did. So he ran to John's mom's house and he found everybody there, his friends, all praying that Peter would be able to escape and be free and his life would be saved, that he would not be put to death as James was. So this is such a wonderful example to me of the power of prayer and the miracles that can come from it, especially for praying for those we love. Not just always for ourselves, but for other people around us and what they need. So, is there anyone in your family that needs a miracle that you and your family could intentionally focus on and pray for that individual's miracle to come? That is a wrap for this week's Come Follow Me on the Go. I hope you guys enjoyed the scripture stories from this week's Come Follow Me. I look forward to sharing more with you next week.